Could you imagine sitting in the wrong damn movie for this podcast? Like, you know,
it wouldn't be like, most of the time, I don't hate going to the movie that we see, even when I don't end up like, because, okay, we went to see Transformers, and you know I hated it.
Right.
But while we were watching it, I didn't mind. I was like, you know, I like watching movies, I like going to the movies, and I'm with Mike, and it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's not a problem. The only thing is, I would feel so bad coming on the show and being like, well, I made you wait till Sunday.
And I saw the wrong damn thing.
It's Fans on Patrol time. It's Fans on Patrol time.
We are rolling. It is episode, 217? Man, it's just, and guess what, man? It's December. It's Christmas time. We have to say farewell to Everybody's a Damn Criminal. And let me just, what are we doing? Creed 2. The name of the show is Creed 2. And it's Fans on Patrol time! Ah! It's going to be Merry Christmas this month, but that ain't the name of the thing. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is the sensitive one, Miss Tiffobot. How are you, Tiff?
I am good. How are you?
Oh, man. Good. It's, you know, it's Christmas time. It's busy, busy, busy time now. It's December and hit. And happy Hanukkah to all our Jewish listeners starting tomorrow, man. You know, that's the third. So happy Hanukkah. And it's time for Christmas. And this month, man, even though this movie has nothing to do with it, we're doing bows and arrows, man. That's our theme for the month, man. Bows and arrows. But don't worry. We're still going to do the Aquamans and the Bumblebees and things like that. And I saw another Aquaman trailer, Tiffobot, and it looked
dope. No, it doesn't.
Dope.
I swear to God, it does not.
It looks super dope.
Oh, my God.
So, man, everything going all right for you?
Yeah, it's snowing here today, which really just makes me put me in the mood to put up my decorations.
Really? Tiff, it's like 50, like 5 degrees right now and full sun, so I'm going to go put my Christmas lights up in the heat and all that stuff and go get a tree in the heat. Like, it's that's like Florida.
So lovely.
Yes, indeed. So, man, snowing. Very, very Christmassy and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that's lovely. So, what are we doing this week? What are we doing today? We're doing, we got some Marvel news, of course. You know, we got a little Daredevil news. We're going to talk about that. We got some Blade Runner news. Believe that, you know, and it's also anime news. So, it's Tiffobot's week for news. So, imagine that. Always, it's our segment. It's Star Wars all the time. So, we got Star Wars news.
I picked this story on purpose because I was like, oh, Star Wars all the time.
They go Star Wars news all the time. And we have a two-man game, y'all. Tiff went to the bottom of the barrel on this one, and she picked out a winner. So we got a brand new game. We're going to see how y'all like him. We got a fresh new comic from the minds and the feelings of Miss Bot. So we got an independent book over there we're going to check out. And we went to the movies to go see the sequel, Michael B. Jordan, Sylvester Stallone, Creed 2. So we're going to check that out today. And well, we know we late, y'all. Everybody been on the internet talking about it for a while, but you know, but now we get to put our final stamp on it. So that's gonna do that for today for the show. And saying all that stuff, are you ready to roll?
Yeah.
Let's roll. All right, man, here we are. We another week. So what? Netflix has done it again, man. Can we get some kind of music that just indicates that somebody's just getting cut anyway, or beat down or thrown out? So Netflix cancels Daredevil, Tiffobot.
That's insane to me.
Their flagship.
Because that was like their successful one.
Yes, and I just watched season 3. And I'm telling the fans, because Tiff isn't a fan, y'all.
Correct.
But for me, It was the best season yet. It did not slow down. It was so, so, so good. And of course, it left on a cliffhanger, and you're like, ah, what's next? Just like the other shows, they all left on like really, really goofy cliffhangers, except
because they weren't okay. They acted like they were like some of this, like this one, they kind of acted like they were like, oh, people, they kind of knew that it was going to be their last season. It's like, they fucking did not. That's why you got a cliffhanger.
Well, check this out. Marvel put out a story after this one saying that this is not the end of this Daredevil. Aha!
I saw that too.
Streaming service
migrating
coming
over to Disney.
Yeah. So, you know, what I found out is that some of these contracts were coming to an end. Now, I didn't think Daredevil was one of the ones that still had a show to produce. So, you know, we talked about this before, about possibly Disney is grabbing them. Now, here's the other part of this. Is every show going to make it to the streaming service, or are they just killing it? You know, Hollywood studios have no problem in just killing something, you know.
Right.
And moving on to something else, like they did with the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. You know, they just, you know, killed it and was like, hey, this is your new Spider-Man. And people were like, what? You know? So, I don't know. I think this is a strange move, Tiff. Your flagship? The flagship?
Well, I think, you know, so I'm hypothesizing that the reason you didn't get a mass cancellation, because, you know, they didn't just say, hey, by the way, all of these Marvel shows are going to be canceled, you know, for whatever, is because they don't want people to know that, for one, they're in negotiations with Disney. And I do believe that if I was a business, if I was Netflix, I'd be like, okay, you can have Iron Fist for, you know, however many millions of dollars, because it's not worth anything to us, but we're not going to give you Daredevil.
Yeah, and, you know, I lose interest in things I know that's canceled. There's been shows that I have watched that, you know, that I'm like, you know, oh, damn, they just announced that they're canceling it, but it got seven more shows, and I really love the show. But then I'm like, I find myself not watching it to the end, because traditionally, shows, they put the C-team writing folks on it the last few shows, and outlandish, crazy crap just happens, and you're like, what the hell? I remember a show I used to watch called Dollhouse. It had that. I used to like that show, man, you know, and it was kind of like Point of No Return a little bit.
Eliza Dushku.
Dushku was in there. Love that show, man. And when it was canceled, the last like four to seven shows, they went to the future in like a post-apocalyptic type of thing. And I was like, what's happening? How'd you go from mainstream LA to this, you know?
You can't see me, but I am nodding and smiling.
Oh, no!
Because that sounds amazingly bad.
Yeah, that's what happened. And you was like, post-apocalyptic LA? So I have a tendency not to watch. So the Daredevil Twitter account tweeted out, Nelson, Murdoch, and Paige, justice never stops. Now, I think that's the speculation that people believe, that it's going to end up on the Marvel Network, but that's pretty goddamn on weak if you ask me. You know?
Well, I just feel like you're taking all these properties that already exist in a home that people are used to, that people want to access, and you're moving them to a place. Like, and I'm starting to think, like, okay, you're giving us a lot of content, or promising a lot of content right away on this Disney or whatever Marvel app or whatever it's going to be. Like, it's too much. You can't consume that much content.
Ooh, it's going to be a lot, because I saw a story last night that the Vision and Scarlet Witch with the real actors is going to be one of the first things. You know, at first it was kind of mentioned in the background, but I think their romantic presence in Avenger 4 really impressed a lot of people. Now, for fans of the series, we know that they had, you know, married kids, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, we already knew that that was there, but they had great chemistry on air, I believe, the two actors. And so, yeah, you're talking about a lot of stuff. You're talking about, you know, Bucky and the Falcon and Vision, and what if they bring back all these Marvel shows? Now, Disney, if you bring these Marvel shows and you're bringing the Marvel heroes, please merge them. I would like to see Daredevil in the Avengers universe. You know, don't keep them. Matt Murdock would always show up when a superhero got arrested or something. He was their lawyer. You know, it's just, dude, start doing that. So I'm sad to see it go. It was a good season, good run. Vincent D'Onofrio was just ridiculously, ridiculously awesome. All the actors, really. And Karen Page still got on my nerves, but, you know, she still is a great actress, the young lady. So that's it. That's another one. Cue that another one bites the dust. Yeah, it's gone. God damn. They just get on off a stage. I mean, they just. And another one gone.
I just feel like you can't even, like, trust people to. I mean, I get it. If I had a thing, if I had a little thing that I had created and somebody was like, I'll give you $10 for it, and I'm like, no. And then somebody comes up and they're like, I'll give you $100 for it. I'd be like, yes.
I'll give you $10 million for it.
Right. You're like,
yes. And you have to act like you didn't even invent it. No problem. I'm a sellout. Just say million. So that's it for that. Now, Tiff, what else we got?
So the next story is about the Blade Runner anime that's going to be on, it looks like Adult Swim.
So weird when I saw this. When I saw Blade Runner anime, I said, oh, of course. Then I saw Adult Swim, and I was like, huh?
Yeah. Like, that's exactly the place you would expect to see something like this. But I just, it's, well, I appreciate original content, but I can see that the Blade Runner universe is rich with the possibility of having more stories in it. That's fine. But I just don't know about making it an anime.
Well, the thing to me, the movie was an anime. I mean, you know, all the, what do you call it? All the pulls, you know, it was to me a living anime.
Sure.
And so I don't think it's that much of a stretch, because even that show Altered Carbon is about to be made into an anime, which first thing I thought of, I was like, they're so similar. You know, what's happening? That they're going, what, you know, you got these properties, you know, racing to anime like that. I mean, I know in Japan, and, you know, it's huge. Here in America, it's still a niche audience. I mean, it's not a small niche audience, but you know what I'm saying? It's not like mainstream. Right. And so I guess whatever floats your boat, you know, that movie was so boring.
Oh, I liked it.
Yeah, I know you did. I didn't say I disliked it, but it was boring. You know, I mean, it had a lot, but I don't know if I could say I liked something if I was bored. I literally remember looking at the stairs in the theater next to me, the lights on it, and was like, oh, look at them lights. And then I thought, I said, I'm looking at lights in the movie. You know, so a lot of things about that movie that bothered me. I can't really say I liked it. Y'all hear that, y'all? I don't think I like Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, put that on the list for the three things Montego doesn't like.
For the three things Montego doesn't like. Now, I know you bastards drop off every time I add something, you know, so my list ain't real, so get out of here.
Well, they have a big set of names for these, directing these episodes, which is Ghost in the Shells, like Kenji Kamiyama and Appleseed Shinji Aramaki, and these are like famous
titans of
big
anime
deal,
yeah,
names. So I think and I'm not saying that anime per se is a bad choice because it's anime, like I'm saying any animation, because you're right, it does have like a flavor of that, but I like the live action aspect,
yes,
of it.
Yes, I was just about to say that, Tiff, that the live, because they made you believe, especially in the second movie. Well, you know what? At the time, it looked so real with the first movie. But this second movie, tell me that damn cars wasn't flying for real. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
It all looks very real.
Oh, yeah. I'll give it that. Everything looked like it was tangible. You could, like, just tactile contact was possible, you know?
Yeah. It looks like that was our actual future.
Yes. So I feel you. And since that's a huge draw, why make it a cartoon?
That's why I'm thinking, like, it's not that animation is bad. I'm just saying that because anything is possible in animation, it's not as breathtaking to me as some of the stuff that happens in Blade Runner.
Good point. So, and Adult Swim, I think y'all are tripping. So, you know.
They'll do whatever. I mean, like, the thing is that I don't know if they've, and I don't know if they've ever done an original anime on Adult Swim. I know they've done a lot of original animation, like Rick and Morty and...
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
As far as Adult Swim, I'm not a fan. I don't pay no attention to it. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, how should I put this? The vibe that I get from Adult Swim is that the content is super duper unpredictable. Like, I know it comes on at weird times, and like, it seems to me that it comes on so late and at weird times, and I kind of like never can pinpoint what's on. Is that just me not paying attention or what?
I do think that, well, they have set times for their shows that are new. So like when Rick and Morty comes out, it comes on at like 11 on Sundays or something like that when there's new episodes. But when they don't have new content, I'm not sure if they keep the same schedule. I don't know. And I'm not speaking on this for anyone who watches a lot of Adult Swim. They probably know, but like, I don't watch it on Adult Swim. I watch it on like Hulu.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when I used to watch Adult Swim a long time ago,
Dwayne watches it every night. So
I'm not saying this because it's Adult Swim. I'm just saying how old I was because I was back when the original Adult Swim shit was happening, you know. But like, they did used to change up their content frequently, and they did used to change their schedule.
Yeah, that's my relation to it, is that it's unpredictable. And so I've seen stuff that might seem interesting to me on Adult Swim. And I'm like, well, shoot, when is that coming? Oh, shoot. Now I got to go set up a machine because I'm not watching that at 11 o'clock at night. And nah, goodbye. You know, so that's been my issue with it. So,
but I think it's definitely for like a certain subset of people who are awake at that time. Definitely, you know, I don't know, like my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Or like,
ladies and gentlemen, Sean Blue.
That's right. You know, people who like, maybe you just got used to that. I think like there was a lot of programming during our adolescence. And by adolescence, I mean like from teenagedom into our mid 20s, that they were like, hey, stay up till this time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same concept back in like when Twilight Zone and stuff was on, or things like, people were like, oh, I stayed up for the midnight movie.
Yeah, you remember that? Shoot. No, you don't. You know, remember that. I remember that, right?
So like, just like, they primed you for that kind of content. And I do think that now there's like young, and I don't mean to stereotype, but a subset of like probably young men.
Oh no, 18 to what, 30? Yeah, it's absolutely. Right.
Who are those like, wild and crazy guys? O'clock. It's my time to watch TV.
Yeah, hey Dwayne, you're no longer one of those those wild and crazy guys, man.
Not a prime, because that's prime people, right? They're looking for males 18 to 35,
yeah, you know what?
That's
when Spike TV was on. I watched. I was their perfect demographic when Spike was on. I was in my 20s, and I thought all that shit was fascinating. You know, I'm like, oh yeah,
of course,
yeah. So, I don't know, man. I like Blade Runner as a concept, but I said even the first one was boring to me. I mean, slow,
shame.
Slow, slow. I know. Very slow. I mean, ugh, so slow, but still good. It's really weird, you know, really, really weird.
I can see that. Do you know what I mean? And I do think like, so something that I really like that is very outside of this podcast is like Charles Dickens or...
Oh, yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Old, like, classics, I guess you'd call them.
Hey, sir, can I have a piece of bread? Go ahead.
Right, correct. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, the thing is, when I tell people are like, oh, I don't like that. And I say, I like books that are a little boring.
Well...
They're not boring to me, I guess, but I can see that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I got you. I got you. And that's why I was kind of waffling with the second Blade Runner movie, because I found it very boring. But I still kind of liked it. You know what I'm saying? It was like enough there to like. I think the world is what had me. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, man, I love this world. I want to be here. But then I was still like, man, but ain't nothing happening. I'm bored to the max, you know?
Shit. The pacing.
Pacing. And this director definitely made it his business to go by the pacing of the original movie, the Ridley Scott movie. And Ridley Scott was an executive producer. So anyway, man, I think we talked enough about the damn Blade Runner. Cue the dope-ass Star Wars music. Tiffy, Tifflebot, take us in there.
All right, you guys. It's once again, we're back in Star Wars Corner.
Yes.
And today, we're talking about The Mandalorian again, because they have cast Nick Nolte, which is just not a bizarre choice, but kind of a bizarre choice.
What did he say? He said that the rebellion is going to try to stop the empire. You know, all he does is mumble now. That's my Nick Nolte impression.
Maybe he's going to play somebody in, like, the cantina. He said he likes your hat or whatever he said.
No. He said, you just better watch yourself.
That's right. That's what he's going to play in this movie, you guys.
Oh, man. I cannot look at Nick Nolte and not think about the boys are back in town 48 hours. You know, I just... Damn.
He looks like Santa in this picture.
He looks better because, you know, he was looking so bad for a long time, man. You know, he's messing around all that dope and stuff and... Looks like he's got a little weight on him, and he does look like ching 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 ching. Check him out.
Nick, yeah, because he got that beard.
Yeah, and he looking a little portly there.
He looks adorable. He's 77 years old.
So he's all right to look a little haggard and a mumble.
Yeah. Shoot,
I hope I can mumble when I'm 77.
I just think it's weird that they keep announcing people who are being cast in the movie because it has said it's in production.
TV show. TV show.
Like, what?
Not movie.
Right. Oh, God. I forget.
Yeah.
Stop and go.
TV show. Yeah.
It could be 7 episodes in.
Right. Yeah. You never know. It could be like one show, you know?
Right.
You know, which I hate stuff like that. You know, you bring a character. Hopefully this would be like a regular like type of Netflix type of deal where it's one big movie. I like that. I really, yeah, sure. Really like that. I don't like, we defeated the Empire. Yuck. You know, at the end of the show, everybody's standing around. Yuck. Hands on your hips. No, I hate that. Yeah, please don't do that. Do you? Get out of here.
I think that's funny.
You know, somebody comes and a little kid tells a joke. Can I have a piece of bread? Yuck. Get out of here.
Right, they all look at each other and laugh. Right.
Like that. That's it. Please, no. So, you know, hey, they got Gina Carano. They have, what was the guy that we love so much?
Pedro Pascal.
Pedro is in the movie, man. So, you know.
That's a big, and I know we talked about it already, but that's just such a, to me, in my opinion, such a huge get for somebody who wasn't already committed to your universe. Because it's a TV show on their networks, on their streaming service. It's not like he's going to be in a movie.
Yeah, and he's a star right now. He's
right.
He's a hot commodity. So good for Pedro, man. But you know what? If you told me I can be a Mandalorian in Star Wars and I was going to fill your pockets up with more money than your zippers can ever handle, and also that the Star Wars universe will be the same that Finn and Rey is in or the same that Rogue One is in, man, take my cash, you know.
But I do think, like, you're right, there is a certain, for Star Trek and Star Wars, there's a certain cachet for, especially for, like, people who are like, because you hear all the time, like, oh, this famous person was like, I love Star Wars, can I just be in it? I don't even care if you show my face,
I'm a stormtrooper. Daniel Craig, Prince Harry and William was throwing troopers in the last movie, you know, just, you know, just silly. I get it. Shit. Sam Jackson was like, man, shit, I'll be a stormtrooper. Shit. You know, and he ended up being a Jedi, but I get it. Yeah. Shit. Star Wars is, it's part of all of us. Most of us, you know?
So it's just something that like, right. With like this TV show, first of all, I don't think that it matters, and maybe it does. It doesn't matter as much to an actor if a show doesn't make it, because, well, it does, because you want a consistent paycheck. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you still got paid. It's not like you're for a network, they invest money in it, and so if they don't get a return on their investment, then they quote unquote suffer. Not really, but like, you know what I mean? Like, they're the one who's taking that risk. But with an actor, you've gotten paid either way.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, if this show wants to be successful, just keep Summer. What's her name? Summer Galu. Summer Glau off the damn show. You know who Summer is? She was in Us.
Uh-uh.
Oh, you don't watch Serenity. She's been in almost every science fiction thing. She's a killer. She was played a Terminator, a good Terminator on a Terminator TV show. Every show this woman comes on, She just Google it. Summer, her last name is G-L-A-U. Very attractive young lady. But for some reason, if she show up on your sci-fi show, that sucker about to be canceled. It's about to be gone. She was on Arrow for a couple of shows. And I was like, ooh, what y'all bring her on the show for? y'all about to get this sucker canceled, Jack. She's just like the Grim Reaper of TV, Jack. Oh, boy.
She is. Like, I recognize her.
Yes, Serenity, Knights of Badass. She's on Fireflies. Shit, she's been everywhere, man. She's a lot, you know. Anyway, I'm stop kicking on a young lady. Have her publicist call and talking about stop, you know.
We didn't say bad things about her, but she did.
Sowing those seeds of. She comes to shut down a show. I'm here for the finale or to make it a finale. Oh, boy. Anyway, whoa, was that it for the news?
It's the social media time. Oh, shoot. Do you want to do it?
Yeah, of course. Yes. I feel like Smooth over here looking for my notes. What am I talking about? For everything Fans of Patrol, go to fansofpatrol.com. You can reach us directly on social media if you don't want to hit us on our email on that website. We're at Fans of Patrol on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Come over there and interact with us. You can send emails directly, fans@fansofpatrol.com. And you can listen to our wonderful show on Spotify, Podbeam, our main hub, Satchel, Stitcher, Tuned In, and Podknife, and probably some other little places that probably jacked our signal and probably got commercials on it. But when we find you, we're going to, I almost said something terrible over the air. So that's about it for social media, man. You know, you can go check out that website, man. I know it's the same stuff that's been on that website, but I promise you, January, it's going to be all brand new, and it's going to stay all brand new. I promise. Anyway, so that's it for social media, y'all. So with that, I believe it is time for our first breaky poo. So we'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with our brand new game. So, Tiff, what do we have here?
Okay, so I know that they've had games called based on the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, which, if no one's familiar with that, is the idea that anybody can connect themselves to Kevin Bacon through a series of acquaintances or what have you. And so what we are going to do is a version of that, where we call 6 degrees of Star Wars, and what we're going to do is take an actor who has never been in Star Wars, and we're going to bid against each other to see if we can get to Star Wars quicker than the other person. So as an example of that, what we mean is, we have talked about this off the air, but so we'd say Idris Elba, and I would say I can get there in 3.
I would say 2.
Right. So then Montego would say, I would say, okay, how do you get from Idris Elba to Star Wars?
And I would say Idris Elba played John Boyega's father, who was not on the same screen, but the characters were related in the universe, in Pacific Rim, and through Pacific Rim 2. And John Boyega, of course, the star of, The Force Awakens and... the next movie, whatever the name of that thing is.
See, so, boom. That's how the game is played. So at that point, Montego would get a point. And the way that we both put up for bids, so we try to get the points. And if Montego said he could get it in 2 and he can't, then he doesn't lose a point, but he doesn't get a point at this point in the stage. So this is kind of a trial run of this game, and we'll see if we like it.
All right, man. I'm good.
Me too.
I got my list. I'm good to go.
All right. So do you want to start off by giving us one of your names?
Okay. I'm going to go with Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, no. I mean, that's a good choice, though, because he's been in a lot of movies. I'll try to get there in 4.
Okay. Go ahead.
what are you going to do?
I think, whoa, shoot. Well, it's my thing, so I know I can get there. I can get there in like 2. It can be done in like 2.
Well, that's what you say.
Okay.
For right now, we're just playing this game. We're playing against each other, so you go ahead and bid 2.
Okay, yeah, 2.
Okay, go for it.
Daniel Radcliffe starred in Harry Potter, what, 3? With Gary, yeah. With Gary Oldman. And Gary Oldman starred, co-starred with Natalie Portman, who was in The Professional that we just did on the show. And of course, Natalie Portman is the Queen Amidala in Star Wars.
This is some bullshit. Okay, so then I will put out a really easy one.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Pratt
is in Guardians of the
Galaxy. Wait, you gotta make your bid.
Oh shit! All right, I'm gonna say 6.
I got that's a high. I didn't know you're gonna go that because I'm gonna bid 2.
2.
Yes, and that is that. Chris Pratt is in Avengers Infinity War,
mm-hmm,
with Paul Bettany, and Paul Bettany is in Star Wars, the new one.
Oh, yes. I don't know why Solo just passed right over me. Goodness. Yeah, I'm going to concede those points because I could not think of how he was related other than like through Disney. So I got stumped. That was a good one. I bet you he's connected some kind of other way that I'm not aware of. Oh, goodness. Okay. So my next name is Eddie Murphy.
Oh my God, that is so weird. I almost put Eddie Murphy.
Did you? So yes. You must have this one then.
No, I have no idea. The reason why I scrapped it is because I couldn't think of anybody who connected.
Oh God, you can get to it in 3.
Well, I was
actually
say,
2. Actually 2.
I'm going to say, I would say 4 because there's no way.
Okay. Well, yeah, this one, little hard.
Okay.
Eddie Murphy was in Trading Places.
Yes.
Oh, actually, it's 1. And he co-star in Trading Places was Frank Oz, who was the puppeteer and voice of Yoda.
See, that's an amazing amount of knowledge about this. I might be at a severe disadvantage during this game. Okay. Yeah. My next name,
mm-hmm,
is Renee Zellweger.
Ooh. Ooh, okay. I'm trying to think of the movies. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
I know she was in Me, Myself, and Irene.
Oh, my God.
Man, I can't think of movies. Oh, she was in that. She was in those movies with the British people. Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to say 3.
Yeah, I can get there in 3, too.
What do you got?
It is Renee Zellweger is in Bridget Jones' Diary.
Bridget Jones, the movie I couldn't think of.
And that's got Colin Firth in it. And Colin Firth is in The Kingsman with Pedro Pascal.
That is a cheat because Pedro Pascal's TV show has not come out yet. You are
full of
it. Yeah,
but did one where there was a... Yeah, it's associated with the Star Wars universe. Oh, okay. I think it counts.
Okay, all right.
But if you got a better one, go for it.
No, that's the exact same one I was gonna do.
How dare you accuse me? Oh Jesus!
Oh shoot! Well, as y'all can see, we're gonna have to get our minds right for this game. But I like it.
Yeah, it's gonna take a little bit more finesse than we have today, but I think it works.
I think it works too. I'm looking forward to this one coming back. I'm gonna have to dust off my straps there and get my bootstraps all shined up.
It, it requires a lot of movie knowledge.
Yeah. But I like this. I like this. I can't wait to do this.
I do like that we both want to do Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, that's the only connection I could think of. I was gonna do Dan Aykroyd, but it didn't matter. Dan Aykroyd, you know. I thought about doing Luc Besson but still just one step. I was trying to make the step. Two steps. I was trying to make it like closer, you know. But
right, yeah.
There we go. So anyway, man, that's a preview. We'll call that a preview of our new game. And the next time, that's our first run. We don't practice this stuff, y'all. We practice on the air. So there we go. Next time we'll get it together. So let us know how you like the new game, man. Maybe we can get people on Twitter or something like that to send us in stuff.
Names.
Yeah, send in some stuff and as a challenge, you know, see how that goes. So with that, man, we're going to take another break and we're going to come back with a new comic book. Comic time. It is comic time, and it's Tifflebox week, and so Tiff, tell us what we got here.
You guys, I finally picked a Tiflabot special.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is a book called Middle West. It is a story by Scotty Young. Scotty Young is the guy who did I Hate Fairyland.
No wonder. I don't see any relation in the writing or nothing like that, but okay.
But he also drew I Hate Fairyland, and he did not draw this.
I can tell.
The artist in this is Jorge Corona. And so Middle West tells a story of this kid. He lives in the Middle West, which is, looks like, if you look at this book, like a somewhat fictionalized version of the Midwest, because there's like
corn
dirigibles and like some magic talking fox that no one, it's not like, oh, a weird talking fox. It's just accepted as normal. So what happens is his father is angry, kind of somewhat abusive. This kid has a paper route and some friends that he blows off his paper route and he steals some stuff, and his dad becomes so angry he turns into basically a monster, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. He turned into a living tornado.
Yes. And then our young protagonist has to escape, and he gets on a train, and as he's leaving, his dad touches him with this power, it looks like.
Yeah.
He's got some kind of like marking brand on his chest afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is basically it in a nutshell.
That is it, but if you read it, it's more to it than that. But
yes,
but
yeah,
that is it. That, I mean, essentially that is what happened, but I guess the journey was longer. You know. So
what did you think of it? Because I know what I thought of it.
I really, really enjoyed this book.
I did too. This is so good.
I enjoyed the artwork, and I'm a little puzzled at some things. Like, I don't know what those floating gumball pink machines are, because obviously this is futuristic. Right. So I don't know what the hell are those pink gumball machines that kind of floating over every building and stuff. And I don't know what that is, but it's everywhere. It's not explained. So that kind of bothered me, because I'm like, what is that? The fox talking kind of bothered me. This is what I can't tell. At first, I thought, you know, the boy was having a dream about fighting the tornado creature. And he woke up and his dad was clowning on him and stuff like that. And, you know, then the fox is talking. But I think the fox only speaks to him when they're alone.
Yeah, that's the thing. At this point, there is some mysterious, like, is it just talk? Does it just talk to him?
Is it his imagination? I wasn't sure if it was just his imagination or not, you know? And so the mom left him, and the dad blames the boy on it. But there's another kid. There was a little girl and him in that picture. So I'm thinking she took the boy. Did you see that picture? Like, it was a...
on the desk where it was broken. He threw the alarm clock at it.
Yeah, there was two kids. And so...
I missed that.
There's a kid between the mom and dad, and then the little boy's face is really close to the front, like he like photobombed it. And so I was like, it's more to it than that. So the dad comes and he smacks him and stuff, and the kid, and then he turns into that creature. But the whole time I'm just like, is this just the way the boy is seeing it, you know? But then he did get that little star brand when he touched him, and the town was decimated. And but I just can't help to think, is this in this kid's imagination or not, or is this really happening? But regardless of that, it was still a very good story, very good art, and I really hope that you want to keep following this one, because
this might be my pick for our follow.
Yeah, I think that I'm interested. I am very, very interested.
I think things are going to unfold for us, and we're going to find out maybe more about those gumball things, about the power, about the fox, obviously.
Yeah. Excellent book, actually.
Yeah. Excellent. I hope it doesn't fall apart in the second book. But I have liked his work before.
Well, they have a cover on the next book, and it looks like a Gandalf type character with the big light bulb and the school bus in the tree. I mean, y'all, it sounds weird, but really, it's pretty good. Damn good. It's a good first title.
It's not, and you know, we've talked about this before. It's very tight.
Oh yes, yeah.
There's not a lot of room for, like, you're not like, there's extraneous stuff here. It's good.
There's no wandering, and they didn't get over explicit in detail for certain things. But like, that stuff must be fuel, because I'm looking at the gas pumps on the one building. I mean, on the gas pumps, and they have those little things, those little gumball things on the gas pumps. It's a little weird. Those really bother me, Tiff. I'm like, what is that? the hell is that? You know,
Here's the thing. I mean, we're either gonna find out or we're never gonna find out because it's just assumed it's part of this.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, the drawing for the tornado creature was pretty damn good. You know, mm-hmm. It was pretty imaginative. So good choice, Tiff. Really like it.
So recommend from both of us, I guess.
Oh yes, heavy duty recommend. So.
All right.
Yeah, much better than other books that you pulled out the last couple weeks. I mean, they just didn't, you know.
They didn't flow well.
No. So there we go, man. That's going to do it for the comics. And wow, it is time to come back already with our review discussion of Sylvester Stallone's Creed. We'll be right back. I think, what's his name? Cooliar is a producer on this too. We'll be right back. Yes, so it's time for Creed 2, man. Now, a long time ago on this podcast, man, I don't know if Tiff missed the show or if this was pre-Tiff. Me and Dwayne reviewed this movie, which nobody was talking about really back in the day. I mean, I think me and Dwayne blew it out the water for this these people, but just play it. But no, we love the first Creed, man. I was so captivated with the, you know, not just the actors but even the director, you know, Ryan Coogler, that's Black Panther fame now.
Mm-hmm.
Now he did not direct this movie. A guy named Stephen Chappelle Jr. that directed this one, but Ryan was a executive producer on the project. So man, Creed 2, we got Michael B. Jordan, Sylvester Stallone, the fine and sensuous and beautiful Tessa Thompson. Felicity Rashad was in this movie. Dolph Ivan Drago Lundgren was in this movie with his big ass. Florin Montanu, who is actually a real boxer, Tifflebot. Check that out. Russell Hornsby, who I used to watch on this TV show called The Grimm. And we just won't get into all the other people who was involved in this but I will say that, her name is Bridget Nielsen now. It used to be Bridget Bordeaux.
Yes, Bridget Nielsen.
Yeah, I saw her. Oh, boy. We'll talk about that. So here we are, man. Creed 2. So we're going to do our thing that we just started. What word? What you got, Tiff?
Surprising.
Surprising.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say phenomenal. Yes. I enjoyed the hell out of this movie as much as I enjoyed the first one. Although, I think I did notice some of the directing cues that were done in the first movie by the original director were missing in this movie. And I wanted that, and I didn't get that. So I'm a little disappointed on that. But that was stuff that hardcore movie fans like us would notice. And the average fan probably just wouldn't give a damn. Anyway, so let's start this one out, man. So we just you know, kind of not leagues off from the last movie, but a little bit, you know. Our boy lost in the last movie, Tiff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michael B. Jordan. Let's talk about him. Compared to the first movie, he looks like a goddamn monster in this movie.
In this movie?
Yes. As far as his body, he was way bigger, in my opinion. He was massive, gargantuan. Okay.
Because I have a question. He does look big.
Yes.
Like, if you stood him next to another person, he'd look big. But he looks small compared to the other guy.
Well, Tifflebot, let me explain some science to you. Now, Hollywood says that Michael B. Jordan is 6 foot even, which means he's probably like 5'5". No, I'm just playing. But but he's 6 foot, and he's a massive dude now, man. You know, he really put on a lot of more weight than he did in the first movie. The Florin Montanu is 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
And just not an inch of body fat, period, and just got the biggest chest. His chest is bigger than Michael B. Jordan's. His chest and his shoulders is bigger than Michael B. Jordan.
He's just huge. He's a monster. But that's neither here nor there, because I know that Michael B. Jordan in this movie has the body of a boxer. Like, he could definitely be a boxer. My question is, Would they be in the same class?
Heavyweight, yeah. You 6 foot tall, you 225 pounds. Yeah, you definitely a heavyweight. That's for sure.
Even though he's so much bigger, there's not like a super heavyweight.
Well, no. He's he's a bigger guy, and sometimes they're bigger cats, you know.
Yeah, I suppose that there's like advantages to being smaller. There's speed and
just look at Muhammad Ali and Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. It was exact same thing. George Foreman was gargantuan, and Muhammad Ali was a slender fighter, man. You know, and Ali won. You know, so
see, I don't know anything about boxing.
Well,
I know that like very famous boxing stuff that everybody knows, but like, so like I'm like, I don't understand. Is this supposed to be? You know what I mean? Like while I'm watching this movie.
Yeah. No. That was real. That's probably the first time in any Rocky movie that it was ever real. Because Sylvester Stallone was like what 5'3"? You know, it's supposed to be a heavyweight champion. You know, he was never a heavyweight dude. But you know the way they shot it and stuff, he never looked that short. You know, and Mr. T, very short man too. You know, so they stayed in nose to nose. You know, so Hollywood movie magic, y'all.
Because of the movie magic.
Yeah, that's right. It's magic. He looked great. Way bigger. And a complaint for a lot of people in the first movie was that the protagonist at the end, the boxer, looked like shit when he took his shirt off. You know, not Michael B. Jordan, but, you know, he just, the guy, you know, just looked, sure. He was flabby and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of people had a lot of problem with him, you know, being the opponent.
Yeah, but I have, okay, and this is something else, one thing I might know about boxing, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen, there's a man named Butterbean.
Uh-huh.
And he's big guy.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look good without a shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd knock your ass out.
It happens. I mean, Muhammad Ali was a very athletic individual, but you know, to look at him with his shirt off, yeah, he looked good. Don't get me wrong, but he didn't look like this. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, these super cut guys like this are not as strong as like
That's
a big
what
old
Mike
country
said.
Boy. Yeah, I mean, you can be massive. You know, to get a body like that, the weights you normally use are lighter, but more repetition, and so. Some big, like those big strongest men in the world look like fat boys. You know, they walk around the corner. They look like they can barely do anything, but they can lift a damn truck, you know. And it's So, yeah, he's 100% right. So getting back to our story here. No problem. So, you know, I like that they start the fight with him, you know, fighting for the heavyweight champion of the world. Because what you had to move the story. You can't do Rocky again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just have it be try to make it up to the fight again. So he becomes heavyweight champion, and the boxing cinematography is great. I'm feeling all the punches, Tiff. I'm sitting in the second row, and I'm like, ooh, shit, you know, ooh. And so that looks good. He wins the championship, and, you know, we get back to his normal life. And some people might not like the pacing of the in-betweens, the fights, but I dug it. It reminded me of the original Rocky to me. You know, a lot of quiet moments, like between him and Bianca, asking to marry him and Rocky in the hallway. I like the relationship that had developed, that they were a family, these three people now. And I love that they were a family. They have a lot of quiet moments, man. You know, life is changing. She's losing her hearing. And, you know.
So, okay, full confession, I haven't seen the first movie.
So
I wanted to know.
What a sin! You should watch it today.
I definitely should watch it because I liked this movie. But my question is, so she's losing her hearing.
She was losing her hearing in the first movie. She was
okay.
She told him, you know, after a long thing, that she, you know, had this disease, and eventually she would lose her hearing. And so she was trying to do as much music as she possibly can before it happened, because music was everything to her. That's how they met, and they did had a couple of scenes where they were going to clubs where she was singing in, and it was really smooth and cool and shit. You know, they was playing that music, and he was watching her and getting into her and stuff like that, because she's her own person and had her own thing. And it's actually Tessa Thompson singing that stuff, so that's pretty.
Is it really? She's great.
Yeah, it's just actually her. She's all on the first soundtrack. But she's not a singer. She don't do albums, but she did it for the movie.
No, but she did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, so she's losing her hearing big time in this one. You know, she has the earplugs and stuff, you know, the hearing aids. And you know, it's got a couple of stories within a story. And we knew that this thing with Rocky and his son was developing into something, you know, but it's funny to me how stuck Rocky was still in at, you know, trying not to be an intruder. What'd you think about what this, some
I
of this thought,
I did think that was probably the one part of this movie that didn't really work that well, because he is so, for lack of a better word, emotionally raw with this person, with, you know, Adonis. And I feel like somebody who can be that way with anyone would just reach out to his son.
Yeah, but you know something? Sometimes it's, you know, the way I looked at it was that sometimes you can be a little bit more real with people who don't really, 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 really know you. You know, mm-hmm. And a lot of times with family, things get weird and, you know, it just happens that way. But you can almost have a brother relationship with a guy on the street, but you and your brother might barely talk. You know what I'm saying?
It just, I suppose that's true.
Yeah, it happens, you know. So, you know, it was believable to me. And it was real to me. You know, I was like, it's pretty, pretty good. Now, so out of nowhere, man, they start showing Creed and Ivan Drago and his son, like, training.
I feel bad for his son.
You know what? Excellent job, director and writer, in making young Drago, Victor, a human being and not just... Yeah. A villain, which I was...
And he doesn't talk much, which, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like, they do all this emotional, like, you get really emotionally invested in him, even though he's pretty silent most of the time.
Well, look, you feel bad for him, right? When he wakes him up with a right cross, you know? Pound, right in the face. I said, shit, that's probably been going on since he was a boy, you know? And then they go out and they live in this raw... you know, part of the world.
Live in the Ukraine. Yeah.
And they're out there training, and they, you know, they got that filter, that concrete, you know, sterile filter on the camera. So everything just looks cold and hard. And, you know, you're like, instantly you realize this kid isn't a bad guy. And you even feel kind of bad for Drago because he's just like the most washed up of all losers. And he was the king in Rocky IV. So I was sitting there with my daughter, and I was like, did you ever see Rocky IV? She said, no, but I want to go watch it now, you know, while the movie was on, you know. And so the difference in the caliber of film that one is and this one, it, to me, is just like night and day. I love Rocky IV, but, you know, it's just not as hard and rough as like the Creed series, you know. So, like, the Creed series really reminds me very hard of, like, Rocky 1 and 2. You know, just, you know, no flash, just raw human perseverance, you know, which some of these movies do such a good job at making you just feel like you can go out and accomplish anything after watching them, you know?
Yeah.
So, he had to take this fight, Tiff, you know, and it was going bad, you know? Go ahead.
So, I want to talk about the fight because I knew... Like, okay, here's another question. But, like, I knew that he wasn't going to win because it happened very early in the movie. It
happened early in the movie. That's the only thing. Yeah, you're like, well, you know he's going to lose, you're right? Like, it's too early. Uh-oh. It's too early.
So some other stuff happens between, like, so he accepts the fight.
Well, Rocky basically is not going to be in his corner.
Right. But I wanted to ask, oh, I guess I'm kind of jumping the gun here. But, like... He accepts the fight. Rocky won't help him. But then how long between fights do you train? Because it seems like a lot of time elapsed.
Yeah, normally they got like 9 months. Between fights, yeah. Yeah.
How do they make money?
Because they get paid $100 million when they do fight.
Got it. Okay. Just didn't know. Didn't know this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, if you're an amateur fighter, though, you're fighting way more than that, man. You're fighting... You know, shit, man. I remember back in the day, I used to watch USA Monday Night Fights, and you would see the same fighter come on there at least once a month or, you know, every other month, you know, and some of those guys fight weekly, you know, when you're trying to come up through the ranks and stuff like that. But normally for the big fights, it's normally around 8-9 months for them to train and stuff like that. So that's why they were able to have that baby, you know, and the baby was born and stuff, you know, in between, because yeah, it's
right.
It takes a lot, especially after you get your ass beat, you know, and you got to heal.
You know? When he gets beaten up really, really badly, when he breaks his ribs, I was like, ah.
I felt every last punch. It was, the sound system was really good in the theater. The sound in it was really good in the movie, and the acting was so high caliber. You know, the physicality of those two massive athletes just really made you feel like that. I felt every punch, man, and I'm sitting there like literally with my fingers on my ribs every time he got hit in it, you know. And you knew it was all wrong when he stepped in that ring. He wasn't right. You know, it was a lot going on at home. He didn't have Rocky, which didn't, in my opinion, bother him as much as it did him just facing his father's legacy. You know, I think that if Rock was in his corner, he would have lost because he was afraid of this whole thing, which he eventually says. And I thought that was really, really good. So he gets the hell beat out of him. He's in the hospital. And that reminds me of Rocky II when they both were in the hospital, you know, and talking and stuff. Such a good movie. But let me stay on track. So, you know, he comes out and, you know, I like when he goes to see his mom and with the pregnancy thing because I knew it was she.
When she spits the wine back in the glass, my whole theater was like
perfect,
cracking up.
Perfect. And I wondered if that was like improvised or what, you know, because she knew it too. As soon as she said it, like they was like laughing at her and stuff. And then boom, then that scene in the bathroom was just awesome. You know, we were sitting there just like, what are we going to do? But he got a little cash now. And I like that his apartment was a nice apartment, but it wasn't Rocky III, you know, because Rocky was super rich and went through all his money. So I was sitting there like, yeah, well, and she seemed smart enough to try to keep them together. She's really unlike Adrian, you know, very vocal, you know, in the corner, but very vocal. Mm-hmm. And so he's challenged again. I like the scene in the club with the lady singing and, you know, and I thought he was going to be, I'm going to be a dick to Rock the whole movie again. Like, because it was kind of like that in the first movie that they kept falling out. Both of them had scenes where they both didn't want to deal with each other. And I was like, please don't do this. You know, yeah, he's being a young chump, you know, and he's blaming other people because that's what the character do. But I'm glad it didn't last any longer than it did. What about you?
I agree. It was just enough to make you be like, I'm sad. And it, okay. And when he asks him, hey, will you train me? And he's like, I can't, I won't. And he's like, that makes sense to me because they both have a lot of emotional baggage dealing with this particular fight.
Big time. I love the scene in Russia with all the corrupt people in the room. Loving Victor's dirty bathwater. And Victor is sitting there in that little warm-up suit, you know, totally out of place, not liking any of it. But the kid got some acting chops, man, because when they went around the corner and they talked in Russian, you know, I love that scene between him and Drago. When Bridget Bardot, oh my God, no, Nielsen now, right? It's Now, Sylvester Stallone went to the bottom of the barrel for this movie, man, because, you know, that's ex-wifey there, you know? And and it's just, yeesh, you know, it's just, I was like, man, I wonder, this must have been just weird and awkward everywhere. But he wasn't I don't think he was shooting, Rocky wasn't in that scene, but, you know, just, you know, being a part of it. So she comes in there and yeesh, I won't go hard on it. I'll just leave it alone. Boy, oh boy. Anyway.
I think she looks great.
I thought she looked like shit, but we'll keep moving.
But she's old.
Anyway.
She looks great. Don't listen to Montego.
All I could think of was Flavor Love when I saw her, boy. That's
I do think of that.
That's all I could think of was Flavor. I was like, oh no. Anyway. So, I love the scene between Ivan and Victor. In the hallway having an issue. And I'm feeling for this kid now, Tiff, you know.
Yeah, you really do.
I'm like, I'm so glad he's not a bad guy. I mean, he's just a hungry fighter, man. This is all he got, man. He doesn't know anything but fighting. I mean, he gets woke up with a punch in the morning. Damn, daddy. You know. Anyway, and Victor's just pushing him. Ivan's just pushing him. You know, and he was chasing him with the car, got out the car. What I say, where I was like, man, this kid, no matter how big he is still afraid of his father, you know. So they're gonna have to fight, you know.
Okay, I want to talk about the baby being born.
Okay, let's talk about the baby.
because that baby is so cute.
The several babies they used were so cute.
Yes, yes. But the first baby was particularly cute.
Yeah, and so, she had the little the ear things on her.
When they put those fucking ear test things on her, I cried because it was. I just felt so sad. Not because she's deaf. I mean, like that. Like they, like when Rocky said later, she doesn't feel sorry, so you shouldn't feel sorry. You know.
Awesome line. I really like that. Go ahead.
But I cried because she just looked so sweet and so small.
Yeah, she was, didn't make me cry, but she was very cute. And that scene, that scene was so powerful to me with the chest and the hearing, because you had a tear from,
that was
Adonis.
I got goosebumps just thinking about it because it's such a amazing scene. He's a very good actor.
Oh yeah, but then Tessa Thompson does. She's doing the same thing.
Yeah, they're both crying because they're very. Yes, people live with disability and it's not a problem, but it is still emotionally hard for parents to discover that their child's life is going to be a little harder.
I believe that Sylvester Stallone has a super duper hearing problem. I think he's one.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure somebody can straighten me out, but I'm pretty sure he's damn near deaf. You know,
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm, I think so. So I thought when this was introduced into it, the whole aspect with Bianca, I thought was, you know, just, you know, pulling from the real.
Yeah.
You know, things that you know. And so that happens. But I really like to see where he freaks out as a dad of being stuck with the baby. And, you know, I don't know why he took her to that smelly ass gym. I guess that's the only place he knows. But
yeah, it's like he feels comfortable there.
Yeah, she comes back and he's like, no problem, everything was cool and stuff. But I remember being a young dad myself, being stuck with my kid the first time like that. And the kid, I knew the kid, because my kid freaked out the first time the whole night for like hours. <You know>? Woo! I was sitting there like, man, I've been there, Jack. I know how that feel. So I love going down the train at the Mexican border. You know,
that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was dope, man. I was like, you should be expecting to see that one cat with the one foot in the tire in the next movie, because he could not beat that dude for nothing. It took forever. You know, it was the achievement of the montage. And I like this montage because it didn't follow the same flow as other montages. They kept a lot of the music out of it. A lot, you know, it wasn't like so triumphant the whole time, but it got to that point. But they allowed you to see them train, and, you know, I dug it. So then it was time for the fight, man, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, such a raw fight, man. You know, what's supposed to be 12 rounds in Russia, which I don't know why you would agree to that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Both entrances of both fighters were so hardcore, Jack.
They were really rad, yeah.
Oh, man. Victor's stuff was so dope with the fire. He's coming out there and then whoom. I was like, oh, shit. He's going to suck. And then he came out with the lady, the little ball that went around the whole stadium and stuff. I was like, man, these Russians really know what they're doing, Jack. That's entertainment. Had his wife out there singing and shit, you know. Oh, man.
You watch this.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. We talked about this. But for me, I was like, well, I'm going to feel really sad.
When Victor loses. Yeah,
because he's at home.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, but you're like, but I also, Creed can't lose. America can't lose.
Well, you know something? I was thinking that. And he lost in the first movie, but you know. Rocky lost in the first movie too, you know, so Rocky is one of those films that, you know, it got to the point that, yeah, he's going to win in the end, bing, 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 you know, but I wasn't sure if he was going to lose again because he lost the first time.
Who did you feel like you wanted to win?
I had respect for both men. And
it's hard.
I thought the director did a very good job because both of their stories were worthy of redemption, you know, but somebody had to lose just like in real life, you know, and, you know, I think Victor's biggest struggle in life is not achieving and beating the hell out of his opponent. It's his personal life. It was the mother who got up and left before while he was losing, being a piece of shit again. You know, and the dad who was just pushing him. And the fight was not the fight. The fight was Victor having to stand up there and realize this was his son that was dying, and were you gonna push him off a cliff for your own vanity and redemption, right, or were you going to step in and be a father and be a good trainer? And, you know, when the man was losing and throw the towel in, something that Rocky could not do, you know? And so
that's okay. So that scene is, so basically you're saying, and it does make sense, that they both won because
they both won.
Because his dad, what he wanted more than anything was for his dad to love him.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Like,
show that he loved
him. He wanted his, right. And so when he throws the towel in, that's such an emotional scene. But also later,
the
when
run,
they were running together.
The run was everything, man. If they didn't do that, it wouldn't have had the same gravitas, man. But when they were out there and he slow, you know, he kind of looks at him out of the corner of his eye, you know, he looks pleasant while they're running, you know, like, this is cool. I was like, that's cool. That's his victory. The boy did not get, see, and here's the thing. The boy did not care anything about those people, those gifts, or any of that stuff. He didn't care.
No.
That wasn't his achievement. His achievement was living this beat down life, feeling like, you know, abandoned by this woman. You know, that was it, man. It was me and you, pops, you know. And so he got his victory. Wasn't $100 million. And he got paid. You were a professional fight. You getting paid. So, I loved it, man. I loved it.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah. The first one is the same.
Check it out.
You should really watch it. It's really, 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 really good. So I think that's going to do it, man.
Yeah.
Well, I give it a hefty, heavy duty recommend. Go and enjoy this movie. If you like Rocky films, especially the good ones, because we know with some bad ones. This would be good, y'all. This is great. You like Creed 1, this would be great. I love how the story is going. I have no idea what they're gonna do with the next one. Hopefully they don't just pull some dumb shit and bring in Mr. T's son. Something stupid. But it's total recommend for me and TiffleBot.
Same too. Yeah.
Okay.
Go see it.
So, man, so this is our month of bow and arrows, man. So next week we're going to come back, we're going to review The Hood, even though it's the biggest box office flop, but that don't mean nothing, because I love John Carter, and that was the biggest box office flop, so the hell with all that stuff. Still might be a good movie. We're going to go check it out.
Sounds good.
And then we'll have more bows and arrows, and more Christmas stuff, man, holiday stuff, all that stuff, because we love the holidays on this show, so get ready for all that Christmas dang on music next week. And then, so that's going to do it. I'm the host of Fangio Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is the sensitive one, Miss Tifflebot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
It has been a pleasure as always.
And, hell no, I was about to say, and Mr. Nope, he ain't here. So so that's going to do it, man. And until next week, we will be
on patrol.